Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. Did you ever dream you could fly? I've had dreams like that. I'm not a terrific flyer in those dreams, if you want to know. Not graceful or skilled, really. My takeoffs are pretty funny. My landings, real nail biters. And I never can stay in the air for very long. But I'm flying. And we're going to start today with a story of another flyer of sorts. Kind of an unlikely flyer, to be honest. But man, he wants to fly so bad. And he figures out a way to do it with a little help from a couple of pals. The story is called Turtle Wants to Fly. And it's told for you by our friend Lynn Ford. Here's Lynn.
If you will put up your right hand or your other right, it doesn't matter, and make a fist, show me your fist, and stick your thumb up as if you're giving an okay sign, and put the other hand over top of that one, that's turtle in sign language. And turtle can draw his head into his shell. Turtle's another one of my favorite characters in the family stories. And my father gave me a story from his Cherokee and Choctaw heritage about the time when Turtle had a shell that was smooth. It had no marks on it. It was as smooth as a shield. And Turtle was making his way through the woods, but he was sniffling and snuffling. He was whining. He was pouting. He was fussing. He was crying. He made so much noise that the little birds flew down and settled around Turtle and said, "Turtle, what is your problem?" Turtle said, "Turtle wants to fly." The bird said, "Fly? You're not supposed to fly. To fly, you need feathers and wings, and you don't have those things. But you have things no bird has. You carry your home on your back. When it rains, you just slide inside. You're never lost or far from home. Be happy being who you are." But Turtle said, "Nope. Turtle wants to fly." Well, the birds knew they couldn't settle anything with Turtle, so they flew up to their nests, put their heads under their wings to take a rest. And Turtle turned and made his way back to the family pond, where his sisters and brothers were trying to have a nap in the warm sunlight. And he sniffled, and he snuffled. He whined. He pouted. He fussed. He cried. He made so much noise that finally his oldest brother awoke and said, "Man, what is wrong with you?" "Turtle wants to fly."
"Have you lost your mind? We are not supposed to fly. To fly, we'd need feathers and wings, and turtles don't have those things. But we have something nobody else has. We carry our homes on our backs. When it rains, we just slide inside. We're never lost or far from home. Be happy being a turtle." But Turtle said, "No. Turtle wants to fly."
And he turned around and walked back toward the woods. And he sniffled. Let me hear him sniffle. And he snuffled. And he whined. You've had practice doing that, haven't you? And he pouted. And he fussed. And he cried. He made so much noise that two huge blackbirds flew down from the sky. One settled on one side of Turtle, one settled on the other side, and Turtle tried to pretend that he was a rock. He thought they were going to eat him for lunch, but those blackbirds said, "All that noise! Why do you make all that noise?" And you know what Turtle said.
Turtle wants to
fly.
"If we help you fly," said those birds, "if we take you up into the sky, do you promise when we bring you back down that you'll keep your big mouth shut? 'Cause no one can get any rest here. You make so much noise."
Turtle grinned. Turtle wants to fly.
"We'll take you up into the sky. And when we bring you back down, you must keep that big mouth shut." Well, those two birds flew to a tree, broke off a long, thin branch, removed all the twigs and all the leaves, and brought it to the earth as a stick. One held one end of it in his talons, the other held the other in his talons. They told Turtle, "Open his mouth one time and close it on the stick." And he did. Then they spread their great wings and rose into the air. And at first, Turtle was afraid. He could feel the breeze on his shell. But when he tilted his head just a little bit, he could see that he was flying. The blackbirds carried Turtle over the trees where the little birds were sleeping, and Turtle wanted them to see that he could do what the birds did. Keeping his mouth closed, he called out to them. But none of them looked up. The blackbirds carried Turtle over his family's pond, and Turtle wanted his whole family to see that he could do what no other turtle could do. He tilted his head so he could see their expressions as they noticed, and he called out to them, But none of them looked up. So he tried again. But they didn't push their heads out of their shells, and Turtle wanted them to see what he could do. So he opened his mouth and he called out. I said, "Hey, look at me. I can't fly, but I can fall." Turtle fell down, down, down to the ground, and he landed whack upon his back, broke his shell crack into the cracked shells that turtles wear to this very day. It reminds them that they should be happy being who they are, for they carry their homes on their backs. When it rains, they just slide inside. They're never lost or far from home. They should be happy being who they are. But in my family, it also reminded us of something else. Sometimes when you have something to say, it's okay to shout loudly and proudly. But sometimes it's much better to keep your big mouth shut. And that's the end of my daddy's story.
That was Lynn Ford with "Turtle Wants to Fly." I can't be too hard on old Turtle to tell you the truth. Sometimes I've opened my own mouth when I ought to have kept it closed. That's a lesson I learn over and over again, especially maybe as a dad. And I have to be careful how I say that, because a dad ought to say things, right? It's part of a dad's job to teach things to his kids, to explain things about what he knows and what he thinks and what he believes and what he loves and what he has learned about the world. And for sure, with all due respect for the power of actions as the best and most effective teacher, words are also a pretty good tool for that. So dads should say stuff. That's what I think. They shouldn't just keep their mouths shut. It's just that perhaps their mouths shouldn't be the first thing they open. I remember picking my son up from school one time, and he'd had a bad day, and every part of my whole soul wanted to rush in and fill him up with words, all the words I knew, words to comfort him and counsel him and teach him and correct him. But somehow, by the grace of God, I didn't open my mouth right away. I opened my ears. and my son filled me up with words. Words about what he thought and believed and loved and feared. Words about what was going on inside him. And those words kept coming. That day, it went on and on. And finally, after a long time, it was my turn. And I said a few things, and those things were maybe better than most of the things I've said as a dad, because they were informed by so much. Because I had listened first. My heart was, I think, in the right place when it came time to open my mouth. What did we talk about? Well, that really is between him and me, I guess. But the lesson is for everyone. Open your ears first, and your heart. And then, when the time is right, open your mouth. After all, your mouth is important, and it's not just for hanging on to a stick in the sky. That's where Lynn's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along?
Why, the conversation is guaranteed when we listen to stories on the apple seed.
Hi, I'm Sam, and I want to let you know about a podcast that I think you're really going to love, especially if you are tired of feeling overwhelmed by conflict in your life. We all experience it, and we all need to learn the skills to confidently handle conflicts. And that's what this podcast is about. It's called Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor. It's a podcast from BYU Radio. And certified mediator Dr. Emily Taylor coaches real people through real conflicts in their lives in every episode. Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor gives you strategies to find the root of a conflict, identify solutions, and create positive change. It's not just about listening to the conflicts explored on the podcast. It's about learning the skills yourself to deal with the conflicts in your life. Tune in to Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor on BYU Radio or wherever you get your podcasts.
Simultaneously laughing, we're all agreed that we love, love, love the apple seed.
We're so glad to have you with us today on the apple seed. And just as Turtle, with his dream of flying, found out that sometimes a dream isn't all it's cracked up to be. See what I did there? Our next story comes to us from Antonio Sacre, who kindles a big dream about an unmissable roadside attraction on a road trip when he was a kid. And when the family car finally gets there, can the dream live up to Antonio's sky-high hopes? Here's Antonio with a story he calls Pedro's South of the Border on the Appleseed.
My father comes from Cuba. He came from Havana, Cuba, and settled in Miami with all the other Cubans in Little Havana in Miami. Somehow, he ended up in Boston, Massachusetts, where he met my Boston Irish-American mother, and the two got married. And so I am the son of a Cuban man and an Irish-American woman, or like one of my friends calls me, a leprechaun. And I was born, and on my very first birthday, my mom gave birth to twins. So I've never had my own birthday. There's three of us. We all have the exact same birthday. And I'm 1 year older. And for a few years, it looked like we were triplets. And that's what my mom had to deal with. Well, we would get in the car in that Volare station wagon I'd mentioned earlier, and we would go on road trips. How many of you remember road trips? I was on a plane this morning, and there was a very fussy child who the mom was able to give an iPad to, and she was totally fine after that. And I was grateful for that technology. And I know that my mom would have done anything to have something like that to make us quiet back in the day. Because what would happen in our car rides is we would have to invent games to keep us occupied. And you may remember some of these games. We would leave Delaware, where we ended up living, and we would go 7 hours north to the Boston Irish family. 7 hours with young kids in the car is a long time. And sometimes we would go the other direction, 19 hours in the car to Miami, Florida. Now, I am much older than some of you here and probably about as old as some other people here. When I was a kid, we had no iPads. We had no iPhones. We had no CD players. We didn't have a cassette player. We only had an AM radio in the car. I know you all know AM radios. Do you remember the old school AM radios with the red dial that you would turn and you would roll in on a station? You would have to tune it to the left, to the right, and you'd get a station for as long as the antenna lasted, which if you were traveling was sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes 60 minutes, and the station would fade, and you would have to literally go through silence on the radio. Can you imagine a kid today having nothing to listen to? How many millions of songs can they hear on their devices? Back then, there would literally be three stations on the radio and only one that we all could agree on. So the first half hour of the trip, we would settle in on that one station that made the three boys in the back and the two parents up front happy. Well, when that station started to fade, my mom had to invent games to play. We played I Spy. You've probably played I Spy. We started to play the license plate game. Do you remember the license plate game? Lots of different ways to play it. When we were younger, it was just recognizing the numbers and try to recognize them in order from 1 to 9 and backwards from 9 to 1. And then when we got a little bit older, adding the numbers on the license plates. And as we got older, multiplying the numbers on the license plates. And then the square roots of the numbers on the license plates. And then it became geography. Where is that state in relation to we are? West of here or north of here or south of here? On the East Coast, it was all of that. There was no states east of us. And then we would try to make up words from the letters on the license plates. And what was the capital of those states? Now, I don't know if kids play, is there an app for a license plate game now or are kids? Turns out I've learned as I've been storytelling in schools the last 20 years or so that when kids' eyes are scanning the horizon, this is pre-reading ability. So I Spy is actually helping kids to read, and picking out letters and numbers on license plates is the same thing. My mom was just trying to keep us quiet. So the license plate game worked for about another 30 minutes or so, and then we would get into the fields south of Delaware, the farm fields. And my mom invented, and you may know this game, maybe you don't, the counting cows game. The way we played it was, if you had cows on your side of the car and you could count them out loud, that was your score. But only if you could count them before they were gone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. My brother Robert on the right side. I've got 7. I'd be on the left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ah, 6, 7 to 6. Henry, who sat in the middle, he hated sitting in the middle. How many of you had to sit in the middle when you were younger? But the advantage of sitting in the middle is the kid who sat in the middle always won the counting cow game because he was allowed to count cows on both sides of the car. So the counting cow game worked for a while. And then if you saw a cow that was laying down, you added 2. And then if you saw a goat, you added 7. And if you saw a sheep, you subtracted 14. And is that a sheep or a goat? I don't know. And a big discussion about sheep and goats and another half hour of the 19-hour road trip was chewed up. And then my mom invented, I don't know if you have this variation, that if you passed a cemetery on your side of the car, all of your cows died. But if you passed a church, they were resurrected. So you had to remember. So it was up and down and up and down. And the cow came, would eat up another hour in the car. And then 3 or 4 hours into the 19-hour road trip to Miami, Florida, my brother Robert asked the question that children have been asking since the beginning of time. Are we there yet? And my dad is driving. He looked in the rearview mirror and he says, no, mijo, we have like 17 hours more left to go. Is that a long way? Sure, Dad. My dad says, sure, it's a long way. We have to stop in a hotel tonight and another hotel tomorrow, and then we'll be at grandmother's house. My brother's looking out of the window, and he's very bored. And then he sees a sign, a billboard. It says, Pedro's south of the border, 900 miles. My brother says, Dad, did you see that sign? Sí, mijo, ya lo vi. I saw that sign. What do you think Pedro's south of the border is? My dad says, I don't know, but we'll find out in 900 miles. Is that a long way, Dad? My dad could have said yes. If it was today, he would just Google, how long till we get to the Pedro south of the border? But he turns it into a math problem. Mijo, we're traveling 70 miles an hour. When are we going to get to Pedro south of the border? Go. And the three of us try to do this math problem. It kept us quiet for 30 minutes. Dad, we'll probably get to Pedro south of the border tomorrow around lunchtime. And then my dad sped up to 72 miles an hour. When are we going to get there now? Oh, another half an hour. Dad, we're going to get there like 5 minutes before lunchtime. And my dad sped up and slowed down and sped up until finally we were smart kids. Dad, you're just trying to trick us into doing math. Ho, ho, ho. So we're driving along. So finally, after we got bored of the math game, my brother finally said, Dad, what do you think Pedro south of the border is? And my dad did the magic thing. What do you think it is? And then he listened. And the three of us had a massive conversation about what it could be. My brother Henry said, maybe it's an amusement park, Dad. Maybe it's got a roller coaster and it's got bumper cars. And I say, maybe it's a big swimming pool. We all can go swimming. My brother Robert says, yeah, maybe it's an amusement park with a swimming pool and a great big trampoline park. And we can jump on the trampoline into the swimming pool and off of the diving board onto a roller coaster. And Robert's imagination just starts going crazy. He's imagining this amazing wonderland, Pedro's south of the border. And then quiet in the car, another radio station, 20 or 30 minutes, maybe another farm playing the counting cows game, and then another billboard. Pedro south of the border, 815 miles. Dad, when are we going to get there? Do the math. We do the math again. We come to the same conclusion, tomorrow at lunchtime. And each time my brother says, what do you think it is? And my dad says, what do you think it is? And we keep inventing more and more things. Finally, we say, what do you think it is, Mom? And my mom says, I think it's a spa where I can get a massage. Dad, what do you think it is? I don't know, mijo. Maybe it's a delicious restaurant. We can have beautiful food. And then four of us in the car get tired of what is Pedro south of the border going to be, except for my brother Robert. My brother Robert is inventing things that didn't even exist yet. Dad, it's a rocket ship that we can all go up into the sky and we can orbit the moon. Dad, it's this thing where, like, you can go into a submarine and then they have scuba masks that come on you and you're out there scuba diving and then you can launch up onto the roller coaster and you go around the roller coaster and he's just going crazy with Pedro south of the border. We stop at a hotel. The next morning, billboard, Pedro south of the border, 200 miles. Robert says, Dad, go 200 miles an hour. We'll be there in 1 hour. My dad says, no, mijo, we're not doing that. Go faster than that. But finally, the miles are kicking off, and the last billboard says, Pedro's south of the border, 2 miles. And this, you can Google this now when you turn your phones later on. It says, kids, start screaming now. Your parents will stop. My dad says, no screaming. Of course we're going to stop. And then one part of the mystery was solved. Just south of the border of North Carolina and South Carolina is Pedro's south of the border. South of the border of North Carolina. And we get into South Carolina and we exit down this long dirt road. And we turn the corner into this huge, empty parking lot with this little taco stand in the corner. And this rickety sign that says, welcome to Pedro's Tacos. And my brother Robert just, it's a taco stand. And he just starts sobbing, that 9-year-old sobbing, just snot everywhere. He's just going, it's a taco stand. And my dad's trying to say, well, mijo, you know, it's lunchtime and I love tacos. Mom says, I love tacos. I said, I love tacos. Robert said, I love tacos too, but I hate Pedro. I hate Pedro. And there's nothing else. So we get tacos. And the tacos are delicious. And we're eating the tacos, but Robert just cries all the way through South Carolina, all the way through Georgia, all the way into Florida. And there's a sign out there, and you're not going to believe this, but my dad is from Cuba. It said Disney World, 20 miles. And my dad said, I wonder what Disney World is. And my brother says, it better be better than Pedro south of the border. And we get to Disney World, and it is amazing. And Space Mountain is something my brother never forgot. My dad's screaming more than anybody. And we get off that roller coaster. And to this day, my brother denies that he ever cried that hard about Pedro south of the border, because all he remembers is the roller coaster at Space Mountain. And every time we tell the story, it gets longer and longer, and he cries longer and longer. And finally, just another 7 hours until we get to Abuela's house, my grandmother Mimi's house in Little Havana, and she's waiting. ¿Qué tal fue el viaje? How was the trip? My dad, fue un desastre. Era un Pedro south of the border que era no más que taco. Estaba ahí llorando, llorando. My brother, it's amazing, grandmother. We went on Space Mountain. It was so great. And we had that meal that I can think of every time, the smell of it and the sound of the pressure cooker in the kitchen, the little hat dancing on the pot. And then we sit on the couch, all of us, because there's nothing on TV. Do you remember nothing on TV? Do you remember when it would turn to snow at midnight and the flag would come and that would be it? There's nothing on TV. It's too hot to go outside. My grandmother sitting there looking at me and me looking at her. And every year I would sit there and I would ask her the same question. Abuela, ¿cuántos años tienes? How old are you? She'd say, ay, mijito, nunca pregunta a una mujer cubana cuántos años tiene. Never ask an old Cuban lady how old she is.
But grandmother, how old are you really? Bueno, mijito, yo tengo 15 años. I'm 15 years old. Abuela, no puede ser. You can't be 15. I'm almost 15. How is it possible that you are younger than my dad? She said, es un milagro. It's a miracle. Abuela, it's not a miracle. How old are you? Bueno, mijito, yo tengo 16 años. And she would go through each age, one over the other, all the way up. I would ask this. It was just nothing else to do but play this game. How old are you really? I'm 16. How old are you really? I'm 17. And we kept going and climbing through the ages until she got into the 60s and the 70s. 75 years old. Abuela, qué vieja. Sí, mijito, yo soy vieja. I'm old. You're the oldest person I've ever met. Sí, mijito. Yo soy muy vieja. I've never met anybody. Ya, ya, mijo. Está bien. No te preocupes. I know I'm old. It's okay. She said, yo soy tan vieja que yo tengo una pata en la tierra y otro en cascarón de plátano. She said, I'm so old, I've got a foot in the grave and another on a banana peel. She said, I could slip and die any minute. Abuela, that's not funny. No, mijito. It's parte de la vida. It's part of life. We all get old. We all die. Abuela, I don't like this talk. No, mijito, es posible que cualquier momento yo puedo. And her face goes silent. And she holds her breath, but I can see her breathing. But her face is so old and wrinkly, she looks dead. Abuela, I see you breathing. Abuela, that's not funny. And one tiny part of my 12 or 11-year-old brain said, Abuela, te moriste? Did you just die? And without moving her lips, she says, sí. Then how are you speaking? Es un milagro. It's a miracle. And we would play that game over and over and over again. And in that living room was the beginning of my storytelling career. I wish I journaled more of those moments, because some of those moments I journaled, and some of those stories I turned into picture books and stories that I tell on the circuit. And some of those memories are gone. And when my family gets together, we tell those stories of those trips down to that house, past those places. Pedro, south of the border now, is a huge, amazing thing with roller coasters and all kinds of things. And my grandmother's house is still there. But all of those old people died old and peacefully. And now all we have are their memories.
That was Antonio Sacre with Pedro's South of the Border. Have you ever wished for something that didn't quite meet your expectations? Did you ever find that you learned something by being a good listener? Did you ever find yourself in trouble because you couldn't keep your mouth shut? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them in the show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We always love to hear from our listeners. A listener who goes by the name of @GeraldTheArtist left a comment on a previous episode saying, oh, wow, I felt like my 10-year-old self hanging on to every word when my mom told us stories. Thank you. Well, thank you, @GeraldTheArtist. We're glad our stories reminded you of those family memories. We love to hear from folks who love stories. Feel free to leave us a comment and encourage your friends to listen and subscribe. We want to thank Lynn Ford and Antonio Sacre for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their tales. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Carrie Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. And our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromartie. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink, stories for better bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed. There's a lot coming up, but first I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called Top of Mind, and it's perfect for people who want to engage with tough issues that matter in our communities, but are turned off by how polarizing and divisive these conversations can sometimes be. Each week, Top of Mind tackles one tough, important topic. An award-winning host, Julie Rose, talks with guests who have complicated perspectives that are sure to challenge you. Now, they're not trying to change your mind, just give you the chance to find more empathy and clarity so you can become a better citizen and a kinder neighbor. Listen to Top of Mind on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all kinds of ways to find Top of Mind, and listen whenever you like, whenever you need it. Top of Mind with Julie Rose from BYU Radio.